My name's Stuart Langridge, and I last used a floppy disk in 2005.
My name's Johnny Bacon, and I can't even remember the last time I used a floppy disk.
And this is...
Yeah, it's Shot of Jack. Years ago, the Apple G3 iMac, in all of its garish plastic glory, was the first computer to officially kiss goodbye to the floppy disk. Dell followed suit, and so did many others, banishing the familiar 1.44MB friend to history. The floppy was quickly outdated by the CD-ROM drive, once hailed as the cornerstone of the oncoming digital revolution. But even now, as an aging symbol of that mid-90s revolution, it has now ultimately been replaced by USB sticks and network connections. Now, this all begs the question, do we even need physical media anymore? Worst case scenario, we can rely on USB sticks to move data around. But do we really need optical drives? Music is now online, so is video. We even get TV from the internet these days. Physical media drives are expensive and cumbersome in laptops, in which we demand them to be lighter than ever. Interestingly though, despite the noose being tied around the floppy disk neck 12 years ago, in 2009, Sony sold 12 million floppy disks in Japan alone. If the archaic floppy disk is still selling a shitload of copies, is physical media really dead?
It's not actually selling that many copies, though. If you look, you take Sony as your example. Yes, Sony sold 12 million floppy disks only in Japan last year. But Sony, the company who invented the 3.5-inch floppy disk, have now stopped selling them. And Sony have 70% of the market. They sell more floppy disks than everyone else put together twice over. And they've said, they've actually woken up and thought, goodness me, it's 2010. Nobody uses them anymore.
I agree. But I mean, I think even despite that, I think everyone will be surprised that in this day and age, in 2009, the fact that 12 million floppy disks were sold is astonishing. I mean, I've told two or three people that statistic when I read it last night, and everyone's been like, what? 12 million? Are you serious? I didn't think that floppy disks were around. You'd expect there to be like a million 12. At most.
Yeah.
And it's like, so there's clearly a demand. The fact that it's in Japan is a combination of surprising and not surprising to me. On one hand, I find it surprising because Japan is quite a technologically savvy nation, but also I can imagine there's a lot of people in Japan who have quite aging computer hardware. So... and it's not just Japan. It seems like floppy disks have been thriving in some developing nations as well. I mean, you know, in the US and in England and in some Western nations, it's common to get things off the net because, you know, there's better network bandwidth and connectivity. But I guess in some developing nations, you know, people are still relying on floppy disks.
Yeah. In addition to there being Sony selling 12 million floppy disks in Japan, 12 million... is also the number of floppy disk drive units that were constructed last year, and most of those were sold in India. So presumably these are going into aging computer hardware in developing nations because they've still got computers which need floppy disk drives, or the way they still think is by using floppy disk drives to do things like boot their machines. So
yeah,
perhaps the use of a floppy disk is emblematic of a kind of digital divide where you don't have access to the network. We've gradually transitioned to the point where, exactly as you said, when was the last time you used any physical media at all?
Well, I mean that's the thing. I mean, I think the digital divide thing is interesting because, you know, many people develop software based upon their own personal circumstances, right? So certainly when I've written software, for example, when I've written, you know, things like Learned, I assume there's a pretty beefy network connection that someone's going to have access to. You know, we assume that people are going to be able to access YouTube and other resources where they're streaming, you know, high bandwidth content. But, you know, every so often you'll get, you know, someone will come up to you and say, look, we, you know, in this part of the world where I'm from, we don't have that kind of access to, you know, to technology. So therefore you can understand why there is this kind of, you know, there is this kind of reliance on aging technology because things haven't caught up yet. I wonder whether what's happening is that as we're just zooming ahead in some countries with really fast internet whether it's really opening up the divide. So people are still using floppy disks in some countries, but we've got, you know, 24 megabit bandwidth, you know, in the US or whatever.
Well, that's interesting. An example of that from today was I was looking for the definition of a word. And the way I look for a definition of a word is I punch it into dictionary.com. And I thought, goodness me, it would be really useful if there was a free dictionary out there. And then I looked and Wiktionary, done by the Wikimedia Foundation, is available. And I thought, well, that's quite good that there's a free crowdsourced dictionary available. And then I thought, wouldn't it be useful if that was actually on my desktop so I didn't have to hit the net for it? And it turns out that not only is it available on my desktop, it's installed on my desktop. Every GNOME machine comes with the GNOME dictionary, which is a full-on proper dictionary. I had no idea it was there because I just instinctively go to the internet for these kind of things. So there are still people thinking about what you do in a world without bandwidth. But getting back to the idea of physical media in general, ignoring the point about the digital divide for a moment, what do you actually need physical media for? I mean, the obvious thing that I use it for, other than burning audio CDs to go in my car, the only thing I actually use physical media for at all, USB keys, whatever, is for booting computers.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like that's my first assumption is that, you know, is, and I don't know whether this is because, you know, we work on an operating system, so we think in that way, but you know, you get a CD and you boot, you know, Ubuntu from it or whatever, or you put Ubuntu on a USB stick and you boot it from there. And that's about it. The only other thing I do is I always carry a USB stick around with me as kind of a bit of a backup plan. So, for example, if I'm doing a presentation at a conference, I'll always carry my talk on the USB keyring. But I'll always upload it to a website first.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I used to do that. I used to religiously make sure that I had at least two copies of my presentation, one on my laptop, one on a USB key that I had in my pocket. But these days, because I always upload the presentation to a website first so I can put the URL of the website in the presentation, I've now stopped putting it on the USB stick. I just think, well, you know, whatever. If my laptop goes south 15 minutes for the presentation, then I'll just grab it off the net because everywhere I am, there's net access. Yeah, so yeah. I don't actually use... I still have a USB key in my pocket, but I rarely use it for things other than booting. I mean, I'd love to be able to just boot my machine, you know, get a brand new computer and start it up and boot it from boot.ubuntu.com. to install without me having to have any physical media at all. Because one of the interesting things, I mean, people are now bound to write in and tell me why that can't work. But one of the interesting things here, something that I think Ubuntu did a good job of, is ship it, the idea that you could say, I'd like a CD, and they'd send you a CD. And so it helped people to get over the first hurdle of how do you get your operating system installed. You could always go and buy CDs, but the idea of shipping them out for free came from Ship It. You can also get Fedora CDs, all that kind of thing. But increasingly, in a world where there aren't CD drives in laptops anymore, it's now suddenly a bit harder to install an alternative operating system. Because you can't just get a CD and bang it in. You've got to download an ISO and burn it to a USB keyring, which is hard.
Well, I think the other thing as well, the other thing I've noticed is that, for example, I got a laptop and it's got an SSD in it, and the SSD is smaller than my music collection, right? So I couldn't have my music collection on that computer. And the thing I found was that, you know, so I have my music collection on my iPod. I thought, well, at some point I'll get it off the iPod, get some of it off. And what I found now is because whenever I listen to something, it talks to Last.fm. And there's Last.fm neighborhood radio. So that basically plays all of the kind of music that I like. That laptop just doesn't have any music on it now. Like, I find using the iPod as a physical media, you know, device, I don't actually even need that now. I just get everything from the internet. I just stream. But, you can't do that in Belize.
Exactly.
It's not going to work. So it's, there is this, I think over here, we are definitely edging towards the stepping away from physical media. But you know, if Sony are going to stop making floppy disks and people in the world still need floppy disks or CD-ROMs or whatever else, then arguably the digital divide will indeed extend. But you know what? That's what we think. We think it's interesting the fact that the floppy disk is dying, and maybe this is opening up some further issues in the way that different countries are approaching IT and all the rest of it. But what do you think? You need to join the conversation. Go to shotofjack.org where you heard this and leave your comments right there.
Get in and tell us. what do you use physical media for? Do you actually burn CDs for anything other than audio these days? Do you use a USB key for anything other than booting new versions of Fedora? You know, you can get in touch with us through shotofjack.org/discuss.
Yep, and we'll see you on the next Shot of Jack.